Well, good morning again. Now, this is our final week of our series that we've been in called The Savior Enigma, where we have exclusively been in the book of Luke. And what we've been doing is we've been picking up puzzle pieces as to who this Jesus is, so that we better know him and better know how to follow him and how to live for him. Now, I'm only going to share for a brief time this morning in light of our child dedications and in light of something amazing that will happen here in just a little bit, right here in our worship service, and that is believer baptisms, guys, which I am so, so excited about, because each one of these individuals and their stories, which you'll hear, it is an enigma in and of itself. What you will hear pretty consistently in their testimonies is the testimony to a changed life. And the changing of one's life is a miracle in and of itself, isn't it? I mean, it's an enigma. It is something mysterious. It is something intriguing. It is something puzzling. It is an enigma in and of itself, church, that God cares enough about us that he is willing. Do you get it? He is willing to forgive our past, and he is willing to empower us through his Holy Spirit to do what? To turn our life around. To turn our life around. To turn away from death. To turn away from destruction. To turn away from maybe a dead-end road and to turn to him. That's amazing. So, I'm only hopefully going to share briefly, okay? Because the baptisms that we will witness, I'm telling you, they are a message in and of themselves, and a message that is so powerful and that is so glorifying to our God that you don't need much from me today, okay? But with that, let's pray quickly, and before we dive in the Word, and as I'm praying, you can get to Luke chapter 24 in your Bible, or it will be on the screen, but let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day again. Lord, thank you for this time, and Lord, right now specifically, we want to be attentive to your Word. We want to see what you want us to see. So we surrender right now to you. We put aside what we came in with, maybe the weight of the world or the weight of guilt or whatever it is. And we just want to hear from you. Maybe it's our busy life. Lord, we lay it aside. Let's hear from you for a minute. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So again, today we finish up our journey through the book of Luke to put some final pieces of this puzzle together. And last week together, we looked at how Clopas and another disciple were walking along the road to Emmaus, trying to piece things together, trying to piece all that they had seen, all that they had heard in Jesus' final week before his crucifixion and before his death. And the news now that these guys got is that he was alive again. They are puzzling this when Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, shows up to help them put these pieces together. And so today we look at the section after that, where Jesus yet again reveals himself to his disciples post-resurrection, and where something unexpected happens. And through it, okay, through it we see four P's. Four P's that Jesus essentially ends his time with here on earth. Four P's, mind you, that are gifts from him to us, that give us more pieces of the puzzle. So let's start with Luke 24, starting in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, discussing, in other words, what Clopas and the other disciple that Jesus came to, as they were discussing that, Jesus himself, it says, stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled. They were frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. Peace be with you. Now, these are easy words to just gloss over, but think about the context. Jesus hasn't seen this group together since the Last Supper, the night of his betrayal, the night, mind you, that essentially no one showed up for him. I mean, when praying in the garden before his arrest, he asked his disciples to keep watch, but the bozos fell asleep. They fell asleep, and he is arrested to only see Peter respond overly emotionally before denying him three times. And the others, well, they flee. But yet, after this disappointing display of not showing up for the Savior that they had followed, Jesus does what? He offers them peace. He offers them peace. He doesn't enter with condemnation or questioning. He simply offers them, and he offers us his peace, church. Jesus gifts us his peace. He offered it to them before he died, and he offers it to them here in the face of their first response to seeing him being what? Being one of fear. I mean, the conduct of these disciples' lives had been such that it would leave them weighted down with feelings of guilt and inadequacy. But Jesus comes, and he comes to reconnect. Jesus comes to continue a relationship of what? A relationship of love, a relationship of friendship, even though they had very unkindly deserted him in his sufferings. Church, our Savior, this Jesus, he deals with us not as we deserve, but he deals with us in love, and he deals with us in forgiveness. So, maybe where do you feel undeserving? What have you done where you deserve condemnation from God? Just confess it. Confess it genuinely from your heart to him and feel his peace. Feel it wash over you and receive his power. He doesn't just end at peace. Receive his power to change your direction, to change your ways. Now, speaking of that, another gift that he gives us that we read of here is his presence. Let's look at verse 38 to 43. It says this. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of what? Because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. Jesus wants his disciples to be able to confirm that he isn't just some floating ghost. He wants them to know without a shadow of a doubt, church, that he isn't just a mirage or a vision or a walking corpse. No, he was resurrected in fully human form, just as he, though still fully God, came to earth at his birth, also in fully human form. I mean, he offers his disciples to touch him and to see. And you want further proof, he thinks? "I'm hungry. You got anything to eat?" He took fish and he ate it in their presence. And it is a big deal, church, that God showed up in human form here for all of us. Because you know why? We are thick-headed. We are thick-headed. We are doubting skeptics, just like these disciples were. We as humanity, we seem to need proof. We have to sometimes see before we believe. And so for many of us, you know what? For many of us, faith isn't some instantaneous gift. It is something that we have to work through. It is something we have to process towards oftentimes as God draws us to his true self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For some of us, it's a process. And you know what? Jesus knows that. He knows that, and he works with us in that. So Jesus, church, Jesus gifts us his presence. And he just asks us to be open to it and to allow him to show us himself. And he was making a point here, a point that I am the real deal. And the result? I love what it says here. That they still didn't believe. Did you catch that? They still didn't believe, and out of what? Out of joy and amazement. In other words, okay, when they are just starting to believe it, they doubt again, don't they? In a moment of like, this is too good to be true. And I don't know if you are more holy than me. You probably are. Let's be real. But I've been there. I've been there in my faith. so on fire for God, but then not so much. But I was always the one who moved. It wasn't him. In joy and amazement, church, they doubt again. Church, when it comes to the resurrection, the disciples were so slow to believe. In fact, their unwillingness to naively believe it at first, but then later their insistence of the truth of it testifies to me. It testifies to me that when afterwards they do believe in it and believe in it with their whole being, that testifies to me that it has to be true. And I think that should act as a testimony of it to us and to you too. And Jesus, do you know what? Jesus is still offering his very real presence with us today through his word. Through his word and through his people, through the church, and through his Holy Spirit. Would you be open to it? Soften your heart. But what's another P he gives us? Let's look at verse 44 to 49. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high." You know, there are many philosophical conversations and even late night musings about what is the meaning of life. In fact, one modern day English philosopher says this: the meaning of life is that which we choose to give it. But church, come on. Church, who am I? Who am I and who are you? Who are you? Who are you and I in the universe that we should get to decide what meaning is? Or that we get to choose what matters most or what matters the least? Do you think the meaning of life is that fleeting? Because I'll tell you what, if I get to define it, or if you do, if you're anything like me, one day it will be this, and the next, it will be that. I'm just telling you, okay, a lifetime of me deciding or you deciding what the meaning of life is, that feels aimless. That feels temporary. That feels completely untethered to any larger story of love and connection and meaning. That we only have to open up our eyes to see is going on all around us. So Jesus gives us here his plan. He gifts us his plan, what we just read. And when the disciples heard what we just read, the plan they had heard before about the sufficiency of Scripture and all the pieces of it coming together, and that it was all they needed to know for salvation, which they heard all this before, it just hits different this time. For why? For their minds were open. That's what the word says. Their minds were opened by Jesus. And the whole of the Old Testament leading to this moment made sense. And from there, he tells them more of the plan. That they are what? That they are witnesses of these things. To share it with who? To share it with the world. The plan is you and the Holy Spirit, communicates Jesus. For the gift of the Holy Spirit, my Father has promised you. And the disciples get it. And what a gift, okay? What a gift. The clarity of plan, the clarity of purpose, that is such a gift, which is what God through Jesus wants to give you and I, me today. You and I are valued. Do you know that? You and I are valued by God. We are useful. We are important. We are even necessary in some ways. And we each have an important part to play in the biggest picture of life, a picture of meaning, a picture of eternity, according to God's definition of all of that per his plan. Now, there is one more P or gift that we see our Savior reveal. in the section of our Bible, and it is the gift of his power. The gift of his power. Let's look at verse 50 to 53. When he, Jesus, had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. They were worshiping him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Church, what we see here on display, the power of the Lord ascending. And this is one more thing the disciples get to see and to tell us about in witness to and to solidify even more the sovereignty and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ as our King. And while he was ascending, what was he doing? What was he seen doing? He was blessing them, right? Raising his hands and blessing them. Christ is now sending them, these apostles, he's sending them to preach his gospel, to share the plan we talked about earlier with the world. And he gives them his blessing. And not for themselves only, but to be granted with the authority in his name that all should believe in him through their word and their testimony. Church, this visual display of his ascension was a symbolic assurance of God's power. It was another pulling back of the curtain, if you will, for the disciples and for us, similar to the transfiguration that we talked about earlier in this series, where in an extra powerful way, the disciples got to see and we get to read of the glory again, of the majesty and of the power that is the one true God. Tim Keller, great preacher, theologian, and apologist, he puts it this way. The ascension is the detonator, a small charge used to detonate an explosive. Keller writes, the ascension is the detonator for everything else that Jesus did. The ascension is that which takes what Jesus was, who he was, what he did on earth, and it releases it, writes Keller, into the universe. Not only in reality, but mentally and spiritually. It is the increased and heightened presence of Christ. And the ascension, continues Keller, is not the loss of his leadership. It's not the loss of his intimacy and his protection, but the magnification, the infinite magnification of it. And when Jesus Christ ascended, Keller writes, it doesn't mean he went into another part of the stage. It doesn't mean he went into another part of the universe, that he now has a new relationship to the universe. And now, continues Keller, instead of staying in time and space, where he can only exist in one spot and at one point in time, he, this Jesus of ours, he goes out of time and space, and he is now on the throne, which means that now he has a position by which he takes everything that he was and everything that he did, being our shepherd, being our substitute, being our mediator before God, being our sacrifice. He takes all of that, and he now has leadership with us to take and to apply the benefits and the glories of what he did everywhere and all over the place. End of Keller quote. Kind of long, but good. Church, the first time Jesus left them upon his arrest and death, they, his followers, they were filled with sadness. Even though he had told them the plan and that he had to leave and that it was good for him to do so because it meant the forgiveness of sin. But there was confusion, there was doubt, there was sadness, there was misunderstanding. But this time that we just read about, when he leaves them, it's not the same way, is it? This time, there is no sadness. There is no sadness despite him leaving. For they knew, they finally believed. Because they were assured, you see. They were assured of what? His peace. They were assured of his presence. They were assured of his plan. And finally now, his power. The power. The power that raised him from the dead and that now raises him to his rightful throne, church, right before their very eyes. So, church, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, it's It's not going to be on the screen. Just listen to me. Jesus comes to us and says, he comes to us and says, he comes to us and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, says Jesus, I am with you. How? Always. When? To the very end of the age. Are you assured of his resurrection? Then we've got some work to do, right? Don't we? Together, we've got some work to do. Are you not assured? It's okay. Just be open to it. Be open to him. Lean in. Lean in to give yourself a chance to experience his peace, to experience his presence, to experience his power, and get about his plan one day. As the worship team comes forward, I'd love to pray with you all. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this journey through the book of Luke, Lord, that where you have just revealed more and more about yourself through this journey. And it's all about you and your invitation of us to be about your plan. So, Lord, thank you for this final chapter in Luke where we get to see your presence, your peace that's offered, your power, and your plan. And Lord, if we are believers in Christ, would we get even more serious about your plan in loving ways, in loving others, in leading them, in sharing good truth with them, in sharing the good news, the gospel, as we build relationship. Think about how Jesus came, church, in peace, not to condemn, but in peace and love. And to share the plan. Help us to be a people that do that. And Lord, if we have not accepted Christ, I just pray that we would lean into that. We would think about these words today and the fact that he died but rose again. He's the real deal. Would we explore that further? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite anybody getting baptized to come up here with their reader, their helper. Just gather over here. And actually, I'm going to have Earl and Stacy come up and JP come up right now. And as I just talk about baptism real quick, remember your towels, guys. You're going to need them. Hey, baptism is this symbolic, beautiful thing that we do out of obedience to Christ. You can be seated if you want or stand, whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with. And it pictures Jesus' death and his resurrection, okay? And what it is, it's our testimony that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to have Stacy's going to read our first baptism candidate, I guess he'd call him, is Earl Piscatelli. He's passed the test. So Stacy's going to read. Hold that close to your chin.
Hi, I'm Stacy, and I'm Earl's wife. Here's Earl's faith story. I've always known God, but for the longest time, I've been running from him. It took me a long time to accept the fate I was given. I've been in some hard spots and not known what to do. So I started reading the Bible and started getting closer to Christ, which has altered the way I see things now. I have been on my own for so long that it took me being alone and counting on no one but myself to carry on. And when it was all said and done, I looked at myself in the mirror and said to myself, you couldn't have done this without the help from God. So now this I consider to be the last step in the journey of my hardship by myself and will move forward with the help of our Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right, get in that water there. Next is going to be Marlo, so you guys can start to make your way up. Just wait down here. Earl, you can sit right down and just slide forward a little bit. I don't want to whack your head.
Oh, come on.
Earl, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Is it your desire to be baptized today as a testimony to your faith in him?
I do.
Amen. You can plug your nose if you want. Grab your elbow. Earl Piscatelli. Telly, it is JP and my pleasure and honor and blessing to baptize you in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thank you guys. All right, next is Marlo. You guys can come up. Got Christy Comenda reading his testimony, and Deb Little's going to help baptize him. Just hold it close to your chin, please.
Okay, we'll try now. I'm Christy, and my relationship to Marlo is that he is my brother in Christ. And I'm really excited to be able to share that. This is Marlo's faith story. There was a day in which everything I was doing just felt wrong. I felt so lonely and was suffering from an addiction to harmful images and an overwhelming feeling of emptiness in my life. My whole perspective on life took a turn when I went to a Christian faith-based camp this February break. Ever since then, I've realized that the only life worth living is one with Jesus Christ in my heart. I only want my faith to grow more and more. I want to live a life in which, if I were to meet Jesus tomorrow or today or in 5 minutes, I'd be excited rather than embarrassed. Growing my faith essentially is my life. I want to dedicate as much of my life as I can towards mirroring Jesus Christ and changing my life and perspective and meeting and helping others to achieve the same goal, the goal to be a part of God's everlasting family.
Amen. All right, Deb, if you can make your way to that side, can you just be careful? A little tight fit there. Marlo, you can get in.
Getting in, okay.
Yeah, hopefully it's warm enough. Sit right down there. Slide forward so we don't hit your head.
Okay.
Marlo, do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I do.
Is it your desire to be baptized in his name today as a testimony to your faith?
It is.
Then, Marlo, it is our pleasure, honor, and blessing to be a part of this with you and to only see you grow. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, next we've got Dave Page. You guys can come up. So I guess reading today the testimony is Jeremiah, and then Susie is going to help baptize Dave. Just hold it close to your chin, please.
Hi, my name is Jeremiah, and I'm friends with David. Here's Dave's faith story. In my past life, I was a liar, thief, and an addict. I started stealing at a young age. At that age of 12, I was introduced to drugs. From that point on, my only concern was my next high. Everything else came second. Soon I was selling drugs to support my habits, and I stole and lied. It cost me my marriage and my relationship with two children that want nothing to do with me. I spent most of my life looking over my shoulder, bouncing from state to state, and I did serve prison time for some of my crimes. But thanks to the Lord God, I don't have to live like that anymore. Today I can hold my head up high because today I believe in God's love.
Amen. All right, Dave, get in. Sit right down. Dave, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Is it your desire today to be baptized in his name as a witness and a testimony to your faith in him?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Then we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Amen. All right, next is Mitch Norat. Come on up.
Hi,
Everybody, this is Mitch. Say hi, Mitch.
Hi, I'm Mitchell. I'm Jamie. I'm Mitchell's mom. Here's Mitchell's faith story. Before my relationship with Jesus, my life was filled with temptations I could not overcome and anxiety I couldn't deal with. I was lost. Now with Jesus, I have overcome my temptations, anxiety, and many more things. With him, I'm not lost. I'm on a path, and that path is Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. All right, Mitch, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you desire to be baptized today as a witness and a testimony to your faith in him?
Yes, I do.
Then it is our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! All right, next we have Carter. I think you know how to hold the mic.
Yeah, I think so. Hi, I'm Ayla Oakley, and I'm Carter's sister. Here is Carter's faith story. Carter just celebrated her 7th birthday and has grown up her whole life in the church and learning about God and how important it is to put her trust in him. Carter heard about baptisms happening in the church and asked her parents if she could do it. Carter said she understands that being baptized means showing her family and other people that she wants to walk close with God and live differently as a God girl.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Need help getting in? Yep, take those sandals off. You good? You know how to swim, right? Okay. You can have a seat, sweetie. Carter, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you want to get baptized today to tell the world that?
Amen.
Carter, it's our pleasure, it's our blessing to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be careful the edge. All right, if everyone who was baptized would just stand, maybe if you're not standing. If you're around them, just put your hands toward them. Do you remember what Jesus did? He raised his hand and blessed them, right? Well, we're Jesus' vehicle, really, today to let him work through us to bless others. So if you are near them, put your hand on them. The whole church should raise your hands towards them. Let's just pray blessings over these people that have made this step of faith. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in these folks' lives. Lord, thank you for their testimony to faith. And Lord, just how that can be an encouragement to all of us that you, God, like I said in the message, you care enough about us that you want to forgive our sins. You want to walk with us and help us to change our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And baptism is a step where we recognize and we testify that that's what you've done. You've died, you've rose to forgive us of sin, and you want to walk with us, Lord. You want us to journey with you. So, Lord, I pray protection over each one of these people that were baptized today. I pray blessing over them. I pray wisdom over them. I pray that this is only the beginning of mighty things that we will see through them and through their lives walking with you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.